Hi, everybody. Thank you for spending your morning with me. I appreciate it very, very much. We all do. My name is Scott Hanselman. Let me see if I got my clicker working there. And I don't. That's a really long title for this talk, so I don't even know what that says. What I want to talk about is kind of, they call these foundational sessions. So this is kind of the foundation of all the different things that you're going to build on top of. This is all the developer platform. And I'm going to tell the story from a Visual Studio perspective, because your bosses, you know, they spend all day in Outlook, presumably deleting email. Your marketing people spend a lot of time in PowerPoint, you know, duplicating slides that you made. You live in Visual Studio, and you live on the web, and you have to do all the things that they tell you to do. So I'm going to kind of tell the story with more demos and more devices and more computers than I've ever done before in 60 minutes. So let's wish us luck. Now, folks are telling us that developers are more important than ever. You've got to deliver faster than ever. Cross-platform mobile is coming up consistently. The idea of applications that run everywhere, all over the world. But you also have existing apps that you need to use as well. So there's a lot of pressure on us as devs to get stuff done right now. It's a whole new world. You've got cross-platform mobile on one side. You've got speed and agility on the other. You've got bosses starting to look at things like cloud and server workloads, hybrid environments where some things are in the cloud and other things aren't. So let's go through some of the things. We'll start with the server and talk about a number of scenarios that I think are important to enterprise developers. We're going to start by looking at dev and test in the cloud, and then we'll work our way to the client side over the course of the talk. So what does that mean, dev and test in the cloud? There was a friend of mine that worked at a large processor maker, and he said that when he wanted a virtual machine, he needed to fax a guy in IT, and that would provision a VM, and the VM would end up taking a couple of weeks. It wasn't, in fact, the virtual machine took a couple of weeks. It was just that the process to get that managed was a couple of weeks. So IT admins provision VMs, developers have to use them. What if we move all of that stuff and all of that infrastructure into the cloud? You have less time to wait for your infrastructure, and you get better developer productivity. It costs you pennies. I mention this a lot on my blog, but if you've got MSDN, and a lot of people do with their companies, make sure you plug that stuff into Azure. Otherwise, you're wasting money. You're throwing away 100 or 150 bucks every single month of free time, and that means you could potentially run, you know, 3 VMs all day long. What would you do with those virtual machines if you could? Let me switch over to this machine here and show you an example that's pretty hot. So here, I've got some virtual machines, but I don't want my virtual machines out on the public internet. I want to have to a VPN into these VMs, right? So I've made a private network. These virtual machines do not exist on the public internet. I've got them in here, and I'm working on a WPF application. But I run Windows 8.1. They want it to also work on Windows 7. I don't have a Windows 7 machine around. I can fire one up in my virtual network. It takes just a second. I can actually do that work directly from Visual Studio, say right-click, create virtual machine, and then I can pick from a million different images, including now, according to today, this just launched a moment ago, here it is, client-side images are now in Azure, so I can fire up Windows 7 VMs in Azure for dev and test. So I've gone and I've done that. And because it's a private network, I need to VPN into that. So I'm going to go and VPN from here on stage directly into a virtual machine that's running up in the cloud. And then I'm going to go ahead and run RDP and get into that machine. This is all real and live. And here is my WPF application. So I'm testing my WPF app here on Windows 7. Now, that's great. You know, I can run stuff in the cloud. Yay, Scott. Yeah, I'm not impressed. Wouldn't it be cooler, though, if I could go back over into Visual Studio and then right-click on that and say enable debugging from within Visual Studio, and then potentially go and attach to that. So I could say debug attach to process, and just as if that machine is sitting underneath my desk, I can go and debug it in the cloud. So I'm going to go and hit attach. And I'll set a breakpoint. That's a useful breakpoint. And then switch back over here. And now I'm sitting here in Azure on the right over a private virtual network doing live debugging. In Visual Studio, I've got full locals. It's complete remote debugging session. So I'm able to test my WPF apps or whatever app makes me happy. When I'm done with the virtual machine, I shut it down. It does not exist on the internet, and I only pay for it when it's provisioned, which is really, really cool. So I'm going to shut that down, and you can just clap in your heads. I don't need your pity. But it's too late now. If it's not authentic, then it doesn't do me any good. So I'll get you later. We'll work on that one. But I'm going to hold it against you, though. It's personal now. Now, web apps that live in the cloud, we've seen these kind of demos before, and we know that the web is standards-based and that Visual Studio is supporting more and more standards like HTML5 and CSS3. But what about extending line-of-business apps to the hybrid cloud and also supporting HTML5? And we'll talk a little bit about what the hybrid cloud means. What does a web app in the cloud do, and what are some cool things that I can do with tooling? This is my company application, and I'm going to go here. And rather than saying, run it in Internet Explorer, which is fine, but I want more choice, I'm going to say browse with, and I can actually go and set multiple browsers as the default or run multiple browsers at the same time. So here is Chrome and IE running the exact same application at the same time, launched from Visual Studio. And now from within VS, I can hover here and see that Visual Studio knows those browsers are connected. I can actually hit refresh from within VS and push the refresh out to the connected browsers. I can visit a page like the fact page that I'm working on, and I don't really know where that page is or what partial I'm looking at or where that view is, but I can hit control and then hit design, and as I hover around in the browser using browser standards, I'm actually sent to those pages within Visual Studio. Pretty tough crowd. Then I can start... No. What if I actually start typing in the browser and have that code pushed back into Visual Studio? So that's pretty hot. That's Browser Link, and that's all built in, and you've got that right now. And of course, I can manage. Notice I haven't gone into the Azure portal yet. I can manage all of that from within Visual Studio, even going and saying, create new website, or creating a new Azure website when I go file new project. I can just say, host in web. So that's pretty cool. But hybrid applications in the cloud are a little bit more of an interesting deal. What is a hybrid application? Well, just like I don't necessarily want my virtual machine running out in the public internet, I may not want parts of my application on the public internet. I might want the web part hosted in the cloud and scaled in the cloud, but the data is really sensitive. I need it to live on a machine under my desk for testing or in our own data center. So we've got a new thing today called BizTalk Hybrid Connections. It's in preview that you can check out that adds to the list of hybrid apps technologies. And it's actually so amazing that it's kind of creepy. So I'm going to show you this. It's going to blow your mind. Basically, you can go and put stuff into websites in Azure and then have like connection strings to resources, whether they be web APIs or SQL resources, where the name of the computer is the name of this computer. It's not anything in the cloud. It's a local resource. And then we're going to go and tunnel that over a hybrid connection manager, not a virtual private network, into your corporate network to then access those resources. So let me show you what that looks like. It's kind of hard to get my brain around, in fact. I'm going to go over into the new Azure portal. And I can see everything's going well, and I can click on my website within the portal. This is all, again, real. And I'm going to click on Hybrid Connections, and we're going to load this up. And you can see that this website, Visitors, has a hybrid connection to the HP Folio. I'm using an HP laptop right here. And I'm running SQL Server on this laptop. Okay? To prove that to you, I'll go back over into Visual Studio, and I'll open up the files directly. I can actually look at my production stuff here in my log files, again, all within VS. I'm going to open up the web config directly from here to see what my connection string is in production. You notice right here, this is my Azure database that's been commented out. Here is this machine here, HP Folio. That's this box. I can go and then hit that website and and the connection is going to happen to my local machine. Now, while that's firing up for the first time, I'm going to show you the connection and the data inside of it. So let's take a look here. There's a service right here, Hybrid Connection Manager. I might have to restart because I just got this machine turned on. And we'll see if we can get that to show up, and I will bring these. This is the data on my local machine. So you see my boss here, Scott Hunter, who's in the audience. I'm going to change him in the local database. Woo! And I no longer have a job, so watch out for that. So you can have pieces of your app in the cloud and pieces not in the cloud. You've got the choices of VPN. You've got choices like BizTalk Hybrid Connection. So it's pretty hot stuff. Now, mobile apps, though, need to go to the cloud as well. And writing mobile apps typically involves using things like ASP.NET Web API. Sometimes you might use things like Node. And we've got Microsoft Azure Mobile Services. This is a backend in a box for running services. Now, when we say mobile services, it's a bit of a misnomer. We're really talking about any backend web API where someone's on the go. That could be a tablet or a laptop. It could be any JSON API or any REST API or any XML API that you're going to need to access from some other location. And we're now adding offline sync support. This works on Windows Phone right now, and we're going to expand it to other platforms. So if you're in an offline or occasionally disconnected scenario, you can go and have it automatically managed by the mobile services client framework, an offline cache. And it'll say, oh, this data is not fresh, but I'll show you what I've got. And then when it reconnects, it will go and sync. So that's happening. This works on any platform, iOS, Android, Xamarin, Windows, Windows Phone, Windows Store. So that's fantastic stuff. Let me show you what that looks like. If I head over into my mobile service on this machine, look, people are clapping in the other room for us right now. You can hear those people. It's pretty exciting stuff. Oh, that's a machine you shouldn't even see. That makes, pay no attention to that machine. Just checking my Gmail on that one. Sorry. So this is the My Company web API, and you can see that this is managed a little differently than a website. This is managed on API calls. So this is another higher layer of abstraction. You've got infrastructure as a service and platform as a service for websites, and at a higher level, you want to think about APIs, API calls, and API management, like you heard about in the keynote this morning. This supports both JSON and .NET web APIs. And I can go and manage those, again, without having to leave Visual Studio. Here I've got my web APIs. You can see there's a JavaScript one and a .NET one living next to each other. And this one is going to manage parking. I've got all the different people who visit my company, and I want to manage their parking. So I need to keep track of their license plates. And then a little bit later, I'll come back and show you the front end to manage those parking reservations. So remember this. Now, I like to use Postman, which is a Chrome extension. And I can go and hit this live, and then hit send. And within Postman, which is a RESTful client, I can go and hit the parking reservations table. And using RESTful kind of models, I can request JSON or XML or whatever my client needs. On the other side, I can use standard HTTP calls to go and get that stuff. I can do it from curl, or I can go and use the mobile services client-side libraries. It's totally up to me. And again, all of that is part of the platform as a service, and now with the introduction of offline, that's going to be pretty hot as well. Now, let's talk about web development and where it's going and the future of web development. So I like .NET, presumably you like .NET. I've been doing .NET now since the beginning, since it had code names. There was a code, I think one of the early code names for .NET was COM3. You know why that was a bad name? Yeah. Try making a file called COM3 on your computer and then let me know how that works out. It's much better than our original name, which was null. Instead, we just took over an entire top-level domain, which was much better than my .org strategy to take over the world. Now, .NET vNext is going to be a little different, because right now you're running with the same CLR and the same framework, whether you're running a WPF app, whether you're running headless middleware, or whether you're running a web application. So you're using all of the same frameworks. But the world is changing. Client apps have one need. Web apps and services have another need. You've got new things like the Windows Store, Windows Forms, WPF, console apps. They have one need. You've got ASP.NET, MVC, SignalR, and all those things on the other side. So going forward, we're going to have specialized frameworks. You're going to have the option for things like .NET Native, the native compilation on the client side, compiling your .NET code for like things like Windows Store apps, all the way to native code. You're going to have a new jitter and things like that. On the server side, we're going to have a cloud-optimized framework. It's going to be high throughput. It's going to be very small. And here's the exciting part. It's going to support side-by-side. That means that two different apps can have two different versions of the .NET framework and their own personal copy of the CLR brought in as a NuGet. So apps can't break other apps, side-by-side compat at every level. Imagine being able to deploy a... You like that? Imagine being able to deploy an app using just the piece of the .NET framework that you want and taking nothing that you don't want. Breaking apart the .NET framework into its small component parts and saying, I need these libraries, I need that specific version of the CLR, optimized for the cloud, for server density, for high throughput, and I don't want it to affect these other machines. And then underneath all of that, you're going to have the next-gen JIT, you're going to have Roslyn, the open-source .NET compiler platform, and libraries, including more support for things like PCLs, portable class libraries, and you're going to have Entity Framework everywhere. So that's hot. And it's all going to be open source, and it's all going to be in the .NET Foundation, because that's how we roll over here. So here's some of the things that we're working on, and I'm going to show you some demos of this. It's going to be totally modular. Anything that you don't like, you swap it out. That means whatever you want to use. Our stuff is going to compete with other people's stuff on a level playing field. Pick the pieces you want. The pipeline is going to be completely modular. The application is going to be modular. And you're going to be able to have a seamless transition from your on-premise stuff to your cloud. So your on-premises might have server density rules and memory constraints that are similar to the cloud. You're going to be able to bring those applications up to the cloud, no problem. We're going to support contributions and open source from the beginning so people can get involved if you're interested in working on this stuff with us. I'm going to show you something amazing around faster development cycle. Microsoft people like to put stuff like that into a slide and say, it's going to be faster. Well, let's talk about exactly what that means for a faster development cycle. When we said we're serious about choice, we're not kidding. You're going to be able to choose your editor, choose your platform, choose your tools, and above all, we're going to try to make it fast. So let's go and see what that might look like. So let's go over here and bring up Visual Studio, and I'm going to say new project, and I'm going to pick a vNext web application. And I'm going to hit OK, and you're going to wait. And some stuff is going to happen. And over on the right-hand side here, a little bit different things are happening. Our references are nested now. And I can pick pieces that I want. So if I don't want that or that, I can pull that stuff out. But if I don't want to think about those things, I can bring in packages of packages, just the pieces that we want. The project system is changing, and we're going to talk about this. I would encourage you to come to the next version of .NET 101 session tomorrow morning. Scott Hunter and I are going to do this for an hour and go deep into that. But then I'm going to bring in David Fowler for the next hour, and we're going to have a deep, deep dive, 400-level stuff from the people who are writing the thing. He's a dev. He wrote this, and David Fowler is going to talk about this and teach me and hopefully you guys all about this stuff. We've got a new project system where we've unified NuGets and references all into one place. If I start typing here, I can bring in packages directly from NuGet in my project system. No more dealing with references and NuGets and project files. It's going to be unified. If I run this application and put that over here and put that over here, I'm going to go into the controller and let's go to About. And now the controller is not a Razor view, right? It's a C-sharp file. So this is some C-sharp code. And typically what you do, right, is you write some code and Control-Shift-B, and then you hit refresh, and you just do that. Well, what if I could go and make changes here? Oh, that's unprofessional. That's also badly spelled, which is also unprofessional. See, my boss is there, and then, oh, goodness. There we go. And then hit refresh over here, and the entire application is going to compile without a build step. Let's do that again to make sure you got that. Because I don't feel like you believed me. Here's Notepad. But that's not all. What if I right-click and look at the folder here to see exactly what's going on? Where do we usually keep our DLLs for stuff like this? We usually keep them in the bin folder. It actually takes more time and it's more of a hassle to take the C-sharp files, compile them into binaries, write them to disk, and then read them back off the disk into memory and then do stuff with them. With Roslyn, why don't we just do it all in memory? No bin folder. Yeah, I said, you don't know, you're like, I don't even know what to do about that. Like, I think it's okay. I think it's a good idea. I'm going to go ahead and take Scott's word for it. Now, certainly you can compile it if you want to ahead of time, but from a development perspective, there's less writing to the disk. It's code and refresh. It's code and refresh. Now, remember we talked about breaking things up into NuGet. We're not joking about that. Let's take a look at this project and go to packages. And here are some of the packages that we need. And you might whistle because you might think it's a lot of packages. But the option is install .NET on a machine or pick the 20 or 30 megs of stuff that you want, deploy it with your application and .NET and the CLR and the runtime is all in one thing, and you go here, and it's guaranteed to work. It's not install .NET on this machine. It's not install .NET on this machine, and then this patch, and then this KB, and then make sure you have admin, and then be sure to fax the person in IT that will make that happen for you. This allows IT managers to relax, but it also allows you all to try new things in a way that is compatible. You're going to be able to do new technologies and experiment with new stuff in a way that doesn't destabilize the other applications on your system. Okay? But what about this? Here is different builds of the framework brought in as NuGet packages. So that's the entire cloud-optimized ASP.NET vNext framework as a NuGet package. I want you to think about size and speed and convenience. You're going to be able to bring down a specific version. Come to our talks tomorrow. We're going to get into details about how this works, why it's useful, and I'll show you the same app in the same folder running on two different versions of the .NET framework, same time, different ports, to show you that we're serious about this. Okay? Okay. All right, so you guys are not applauding, which hurts me. So don't applaud. Don't say a word. Let's see if I can do this. What about a more complicated app? Here's another app. This is more of our visitors app. Instead of Hello World demos, I'll impress you with this. You'll notice a little bit more stuff going on over here. Okay, this is this app. We've seen this before. What about going out to the command line and then running it down here? So now it's self-hosted. IIS is out of the picture. I can choose the framework that I want to use. I can choose the editors I want to use. I can choose the hosting environment. In this case, I'm running it at the command line. Still not impressed? Fine. Forget you guys. What if I go over here, show you the same app, bring up my Hello World example. Now I'm running on a Mac, the next version of ASP.NET. Boom. Choice, 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 choice. Do you like that? Do you feel okay about that? All right, good. A lot of developers don't get up at 9 o'clock, so I understand. Well, it's the crack of noon, so even then. Choice. .NET vNext, you can use the desktop CLR, you can use the cloud-optimized version of the framework. Everything is going to have the same modularity. You're going to have dependency injection out of the box. You're going to have a faster development experience with no build step if you don't want. It's all going to be open source. When you take it to the cloud, you get that benefit of full side-by-side and a special best-of-class, high-throughput, low-memory, customized framework for server loads, for the kinds of stuff that happens in the server, because this Ultrabook and the things it needs to do in a Windows Store app has a different need than what's going on in a cloud where you have a server density and a high throughput experience. So that's pretty cool stuff, and we're excited. Take a look at the .NET Web Dev blog, at my blog, and at Soma's blog for more details. Again, we've got 2 full hours on this tomorrow. We've got the 101 talk with Scott Hunter and I in the morning, and then the 401 super, like, go into debug mode, and I don't know, we're going to be in DOS the whole time. DOS doesn't even exist, and we're going to be in DOS the whole time with David Fowler, one of the developers that actually made this happen and leads that team. All right, let's go and see some more stuff. So let's talk about the client. Let's move over to cross-platform development, which is becoming more and more important to people. Multi-device approaches. You have to balance the idea of a rich experience. You want to have a great experience, but you also want to make sure that you support as many devices as possible. So for rich experiences, you can use .NET. You can write great desktop apps. You can do great Windows Store apps. You can use Xamarin. And you can make these things work on iPads and Android tablets and phones and everything. So C-sharp, all the things. Rich experiences, all done in .NET. But maybe you're an HTML person. Maybe you like the web. Maybe you think about things in terms of browser-based applications. We're going to show you multi-device hybrid apps. We're going to go through all of this right now. Now, on the store side, you know that you've got Visual Studio 2013 Update 2. It's available today. There's next-gen compilers and runtimes, but we've got a preview of .NET Native. .NET Native allowing you to compile your Windows Store apps directly into native code, and you're going to have that be faster to start up, faster to run, no jitting, just works. You've got universal applications where it allows you to share as much as 80, 90% of your code between store apps and phone apps. That is available now and works on Windows Phone 8.1, and I'm going to show you some examples of that now. So let's go into VS. And this is another My Company app that is going to manage our visitors as they come and go from our company. And if we come over here on the right-hand side, you can see that I've broken up my solution a little, made it a little tidy here. I've got my clients and my server. I like to keep things clean. I've got my universal app. And you'll notice, if I pull this out, here's the Windows Phone app. Here is the Windows Store app. And then below them is a shared model. Within that, I've got view models, I've got resources, I've got services. All that code is shared. This is a universal app, and all of that code is being shared between the phone and the desktop. But phones look different than desktops. So maybe a couple of views, like the main page and the detail, visit detail, are going to be custom for the phone. Down here, I've got other custom pages for the store. And then within the shared app, we've got all these view models and settings being shared. Let's go and see that stuff running. So we're going to compile in all that stuff, the phone app, the store app, the shared code, all at the same time. Here we go, compile, compile, compile. There's the phone emulator coming up. There we go. Oop, wants me to log in. Who do I log in as here? No, I'm not going to log in because I don't remember the password. We'll just look at the splash screen, but it's gorgeous underneath. This is the Windows Phone app. This is the very attractive splash screen for the Windows 8.1 app, which apparently my buddy has left Link logged into in the middle of, which is awesome. The way that it does that is it actually RDPs remote desktops back into itself and gives you a separate desktop. That way you can debug your Windows Store apps on your own machine in an environment on a virtual tablet. Over here, I'm going to turn on this machine. It's a little bit dim. There's my boss again. He's showing up everywhere, which is a problem. I don't know what the deal is. There we go. He's not that white in real life. Well, he is actually pretty white. There we go. There you go. You can see him if he's at brightness one, which says a lot. No pun intended. Oh, see now? Well, he's... Oh, no. I love my boss. Did I mention that? So this is the real app running on a real phone. Let's switch over here. But turns out, not everyone has a Windows phone. I don't know what we're going to do about these people. But until we solve that problem, we can't get .NET running everywhere. It doesn't just run on 1.8 billion devices out there. You can also do your stuff here. Here's the trick. Shared code, shared code. You can share, in the example I just showed, up to 90% of that code between the phone app and the Windows Store app. All that shared client app logic is view non-specific. You use that model view, view model example where things that are universal stay in one project and then things that are different stay in another. Why don't we go and compile that stuff onto iOS and Android using Xamarin? You get full access to the device features, and you get all of Visual Studio and Visual Studio's debugger, IntelliSense, all the APIs. It's not a runtime. It's not an emulation layer. It's really .NET code, and you're getting to compile it into the native experience. So you've got a native UI that looks like an iPad and a native UI that looks like Android. Well, don't clap. You haven't seen anything yet, no? You're so nice. They're like, he paused. I think we have to clap. Otherwise, we'll hurt his feelings. You will. It's true, though, but don't worry. I'm sweating up here. The pressure. It's quite stressful. Especially when people leave in the middle. I was going to say something to those people, but I assumed that they probably weren't using Azure and their system was down, so they had to go back to the data center and try to... Should have used Azure. So let's go here. I'm going to go out of the client into the out of Universal Apps and talk about Xamarin. Here is the same application on Android and iOS. I've got Android emulators here, but I've also got actual Android devices. So let's see if we can do that as well. This code, again, using shared components, bringing in Xamarin Mobile, and then there's the My Company Visitors client again, sharing as much code as we can while still looking like a native application. I've got a breakpoint set here, and I've got an Android tablet. Let's go ahead and hit F5. We're going to start a debug. I've got a Samsung something here. I'm not sure what this is called. Galaxy Fabulous. It's a Galaxy Fab, right? That's what it's called. No? Okay, so that is going to go and connect to that device. It's connected with USB. And let's switch over here and see what's happening. Which button do I push? This thing here? There's the device over here. And here is our breakpoint. Within here, I've got locals. I've got stepping through. I've got the complete experience. I'm going to hit continue, switch back over. And you've got the app here. Let's see if we have this. There's my boss, my freaking boss. There he is again. And he's coming down, and we're using an Azure mobile service. And then another guy. My boss. Oh, there's another guy. And this is an Android app that looks like an Android app on a tablet native. Yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, it's kind of blowing my mind. And I want to make sure that even though I'm doing a lot of switching, I'm doing all of this on an HP Ultrabook. I've got all of these things installed at the exact same time. This is not, I'm not like setting up multiple machines. I've got the HP and I've got this Mac. I've got these devices that are here. And then, of course, the exact same application also done on with Xamarin. Here on a phone, different experience. It's got a phone experience instead of a tablet experience. And then this iPad. And there he is again, see? His name isn't even Scott. His name is Carl. He changed his name to Scott to get promoted. It's a very tacky operation. I've told HR and they don't think it's a problem, and it's frankly disappointing to me as a legitimate Scott. Because if you don't not name Scott at Microsoft, there's really no way that anything's going to go well for you. Now, not everyone does their stuff in native code. Not everyone does their stuff in C#. So what we've also got now and what we're going to be announcing today is Apache Cordova tooling in Visual Studio. You still want to be able to do cross-platform applications, except maybe you're not a C# person. Maybe you are a web person. So you're going to do that with Apache Cordova. They're going to make hybrid HTML applications. These apps are packaged up with Apache Cordova. The tooling in Visual Studio, though, uses all of the same editors, the HTML, the CSS, JavaScript editors that you are used to using when you do your work with HTML. Now, all of that is brought into Visual Studio, your JavaScript, and also now TypeScript support. TypeScript is what a C# person wishes JavaScript was. It gives you better IntelliSense. It gives you a JS Lint experience. It gives you, it gives you type annotations and compiles to idiomatic JavaScript. It's a very nice transition for ASP.NET developers. And that CTP, the multi-device hybrid app CTP, is available today. It's very early, but it's still pretty darn amazing. And that's going to give you the flexibility also to use any JavaScript framework, whatever makes you happy. In the example I'm going to show you, we're using Angular. But you could use Angular, jQuery, or whatever can run on that thing. And then, of course, with TypeScript, you're going to be able to do bigger and bigger applications. So let's take a look at what that looks like. So I'm going to bring over the Android phone here. And this is connected with USB to the same laptop that I've been doing everything on here. And let's think about this for just a second here, by the way. I'm doing all of this in one instance of Visual Studio on a laptop. Okay, now it's a fast laptop. You know, it's not the greatest laptop, but it's pretty good. And I'm going File New Project. When you go File New Project now, you've got .NET, you've got Windows Phone, you've got Windows Store, you've got ASP.NET apps, you've got Android, you've got iOS, you've got things like Python and Node. Now, you can go and download those and plug them in. You've got F#, all inside of Visual Studio. You've got the ability to start virtual machines of any flavor from within VS, attach to debuggers in the cloud, and enable debugging from VS. Fire up virtual machines, make websites, enable IIS web deploy, and deploy to them. Things that were boring are no longer boring. The amount of power that a single individual developer has right now is unbelievable. It is just such an amazing time to be a dev right now, and I'm just so totally geeked about it. I'm going to come back to that after I show you this. But that's just kind of blown me away, because when we originally talked about plugging all this stuff in and getting all these different teams together, I was like, well, we're going to need 15 different computers. We're going to have to switch between them all. We're not going to get this all running on one instance of Visual Studio. And they said, well, that's kind of the whole point, isn't it? You have to be able to do all of this from one version of VS and manage all of these different applications. And there's a guy with a camera right there. Action pose. And he's not ready, and that's okay. He's reloading film. That's unfortunate. But I respect him for it. All right, so here's our Samsung right here. Now, I'm going to go and point this out. I've got multiple devices, just like I could go into my web application and pick different browsers, just like I can go into Xamarin and pick different devices, tablets, or phones. Here within this hybrid connection, applications, Cordova support, I can pick a device that I've got connected. I can pick an Android emulator, whether it be one with GeniMotion or Haxi, or I could use the default ones that are managed. In fact, I manage the Android emulator on my machine with the Android tools, the real Android tools from Google, and the Xamarin apps and the Visual Studio and the Cordova support all get along together and use those same emulators. But we've also put in Ripple support. And I'll show you that in just a moment before I'm going to connect to this device. Now, down here, you can see all the work that's happening. And this is using the Cordova tooling. Well, this is Cordova tooling for Visual Studio. So Visual Studio is orchestrating things that were once difficult, things that were once problematic. It's interesting to go on things like Stack Overflow and find people that are saying, has anyone able to get debugging working with Cordova? Here I'm just hitting debug. My application just fired up over here on this machine. This is my parking reservations app. Remember how I told you we were going to come back and call that Azure Mobile Service about parking reservations? This is that application. This is a native app. It looks nice. I can go in here. I can take a picture. It's selfie time. This is a web app, a hybrid web application. I don't know how to take a selfie like. Oh, that's attractive. Ooh, I don't know what that means. It's Android. I'm like freaking out. Okay. So I'm sending that up to the cloud. I can go back over into reservations, and that's being sent over to the Azure mobile services. Oh, so I'm wondering why it's locked up here. Hello, what's going on? Let's switch back. Darn it, if we don't have full interactive debugging. I've got the DOM inspector, interactive debugging. Now, how would we do this kind of debugging? We do it with a bridge. It wouldn't make any sense for us to write a debugger. We didn't write Cordova. We want to work well with it. Choice. So what we do is we write a bridge. That way, Visual Studio thinks it's talking to a debugger. We have an interface that talks to the ADB, the Android Debug Bridge, the way it ought to work. You've got full interactive debugging in everything from apps running in the cloud in a VM. You've got debugging to web apps, hybrid apps, apps on an iOS with Xamarin, apps on Android with Xamarin, and in this example here, Cordova tooling as well. If I switch back over to my doc cam, and there's my new record right there, and that's probably inappropriate, so I'm going to go ahead and delete that. Again, all being done from inside of Visual Studio, and let me switch back in here. I'm going to go ahead and stop that. And I can go File, New Project, and just point this out. Universal apps, web apps, Android apps, Office apps, SharePoint apps, iOS. I mean, I can do basically anything. I can go down here, JavaScript, Python. There's our new Apache Cordova. Store apps in JavaScript, F#, TypeScript, Python apps. You can go absolutely nuts in a good way. The amount of power that we have available to us is so exciting from my perspective that that's why I wanted to break down a kind of the foundations of what are the things that we're building and make you folks feel empowered. This is what we're trying to do. We're trying to make a development experience that makes you happy from end to end, makes things that were tedious not tedious anymore, make that faxing the IT person about your virtual machine an unnecessary thing. Make sure that you go and sign up for those Azure MSDN credits, by the way, because you're throwing money away. You've got the right platform and the framework and the tools, but you may want to bring your own. You may want to run ASP.NET on Linux. You may want to bring Apache Cordova or Xamarin and use those things. You may not want to use Visual Studio at all. You may want to do your work in Sublime and do things at the command line. You might not want to use IIS. You want to run those things at the command line, self-hosted in a Windows service. It's up to you. You might want to put some of your workloads in the cloud with lift and shift, taking a virtual machine and putting it in the cloud. But you don't want to put all of it in the cloud. So you use something like a hybrid connection to talk to those back-end resources that are available to you. You can use virtual machines. You can use virtual networks. You can use hybrid connections. There's a lot of really cool sessions that are going to be giving you details on this, and I would encourage you to go to them all. Make sure, again, those deep dives on ASP.NET vNext. We're going to have the introducing where Scott Hunter, my boss, if he's still talking to me, will join me for a full hour doing an overview of why we did this, what's going on, how is it compatible, what the next version of ASP.NET is going to look like, ASP.NET MVC, vNext, Web API. We've unified those APIs. And then a very exciting deep dive 400 level with one of the developers on the team. This is going to talk about what's really going on disk, how does Roslyn fit in, we'll see more on the Mac and what that's going to mean to you. There's lots of Azure sessions. There's something like 15 .NET sessions at this conference right now, which is very exciting. Lots of stuff on how to do universal apps and make that model view, view model work for you. Be sure to check out the Xamarin session to see how you can share code. I'm actually writing an app right now, and I'm going to do it across all platforms. And I want to have between 75 and 80% code reuse. I shouldn't have to write the same code twice. And then also we've got a session on doing multi-device hybrid apps or Apache Cordova support for Visual Studio. Thank you guys very much. Make sure that you tell everyone about Channel 9. This talk will be up on Channel 9. Go and check that out. Please be sure to fill out an evaluation and win an Xbox. You can also email my boss, scott.hunter@microsoft.com, and tell him that it's review time soon, and I want an Xbox. Thank you very much, everybody.